I am in the privileged position to be finishing off the series that we've been looking at on holy discontent. Anybody been around for some of that? And the good thing, you know, normally I start these series and everyone else on the back of it steals my thoughts. So it's great to be in the position where I'm last on and I can steal everybody else's thoughts. I think I'm going to carry on doing that. It kind of makes life a bit easier. And we've been, of course, been looking at this whole subject of being or having a holy discontent. Everyone say holy discontent. How many know that there is a holy discontent or there is being holy discontent? Huh? For the sake of the podcast, I'm speaking H-W-H-O-L-L-Y. And I thought, just to be different, because I like that. How many know I like to be different? I wanted to speak not on having a holy discontent, but being holy discontent. I wonder how many would admit to being holy discontent. Can I just say, I feel your pain this morning? That the reality is that sometimes this is how we can be. And so if being or having a holy discontent is about having a righteous complaint about the way that things are, then I would say being wholly discontent is about having a selfish complaint about where things are. Of course, that wouldn't apply to any of us in the room this morning because we all carry a godly, holy discontent. Things that we're not satisfied with in the world that we carry, a holy justice to see something different. When the reality is that sometimes it's hard to carry a holy discontent when we are just holy discontent. And so I wanted to address this morning. Of course, this won't apply to any of us this morning, so if it doesn't apply to you and you just carry a holy discontent and you're not holy discontent, then you can shut off right now. You can go on Facebook, Twitter, and ignore everything that I'm saying. But if this resonates with you, then you know what? I kind of just say, would you listen up for a few minutes this morning and let me share some things with you. So I was asking the question about being wholly discontent. And this is what I read in the book of Philippians, which is in the New Testament of the Bible. And this is some of the words that the Apostle Paul wrote. And if it's the Apostle Paul, we need to listen to what he said, because here comes a godly man and we need to listen to some of the things that he wrote. So he wrote in Philippians 4 about contentment. Let me read you what this man of God said. He said, you know, I've learned by now to be quite content. Shut up, Paul. I wonder how many of you said that. I've learned by now how to be quite content. Whatever my circumstances, I'm just as happy with little as with much. Boo. With much as with little. I found the recipe for being happy, whether full or hungry. Can I just say, I've seen some of you when you're hungry. Or when you're hungry, as they say. I found the recipe for being happy, whether full or hungry. Hands full or hands empty? How many wish that this wasn't in the Word of God? Whatever I have, wherever I am, I can make it through anything. How many know that Paul went through some stuff? If you read the stories of the Bible and read what Paul actually went through, he is a guy who's not just coming from a standpoint of everything's gone fine for him, everything's gone well, and he's saying, I am Mr. Content. But stuff has gone wrong. If you read it, it's like, wow, I'll have my plight any day when I read what happened to Paul. But he says, you know what? Whatever I have, or wherever I might find myself, wherever I am, I can make it through anything in the one who makes me who I am. It's all on Jesus. It's all on Him. It's all on Father, Son, Holy Spirit. It's all on the Godhead. It's all on them that He can write in all honesty that I make it through anything in the one who makes me who I am. To be honest, I don't always feel like that. Sorry, Apostle Paul, I don't always feel like that. You know, in our house, my wife is the content one. Does my head in. So when I am having my non or discontent days, and I'm saying stuff, and I'm saying, but what about this, and what about that, and what about her, and what about him? She'll just say to me, what about it? Like, that's the answer you want, isn't it, when you come in? It's like, what about it? I'm like, well, are you not bothered about that? Yeah, but what about it? Why would you get so worked up about that? And I'm like, shut up, woman. How on earth can you be so flipping? Because I'm a good boy, don't say anything else. Content in life. And yet I don't feel like, does anybody kind of, now we're not going to have a competition of here in the houses of, well, you know what, it's the other way around in our house. My wife's not content, and I'm the content one. We're not going to go there, all right? But I'm just saying that there are times in my life where I don't feel like that, and I'm sure you feel the same. But when I look at Paul, I think, what a state to be in. To live in a state of contentment, with all of this stuff going on around him, all of this rubbish coming into his life, all the stuff that he's got to deal with of life, and yet he's in this state of contentment. You know, I kind of look at that and think, wow. So that there is this somewhat, what I would call a battle of the discontents. You know, this godly, holy discontent versus this being a holy discontent, one of which is good and righteous and wanting to do some stuff and get somewhere in God and see some things change in our society, and another one which isn't kind of that good, that is quite disruptive, distracting, discouraging. Does anybody know what I'm speaking about this morning? Now, I reread a story this week about a guy in the Bible. Many of you will know, some of you won't. There's this guy in the Bible, and he had clearly had a discontent. As you read the story, it's like he went to his father, this young man, and he said, Dad, I'm not happy. I mean, Dad, I'm really not happy. You understand what I'm saying? I need something else, and you've got what I need, and it's in the form of my inheritance, and so would you please give me now what I don't want to wait for, because I want it now, because I'm not content and I want to pursue happiness. I want to pursue a contentment that I don't have. That's basically the story. Can I say that there was not much holy about his discontent? This is not a godly discontent that we're speaking about right now. Give me what's mine now. And you know, I sometimes think that we feel a little bit like this, that we get on this track of being a bit discontent in our life, and it's just like, maybe like this son, but in your context where we say, I just want what I feel I deserve. And that was this young man. Now, here's the reality that I want you to take hold of this morning. Here's the reality as I reread this and saw this story. Here is the reality of the situation with this guy. He was discontent in his father's house. That was the issue. He was discontent in his father's house. Now, if you're a Christian this morning, and I don't take for granted that you all are, we welcome all people here, and you may be just joining us and not be of faith. You may be someone who used to belong to a church community and kind of slipped away from that, or you may come here regularly and don't know God for yourself, or you may know him. You may be, say, I identify as a follower of Jesus. Well, I address you, I address you all, but it's kind of, if you're not of faith, you get off the hook on this one so much as if you're a Christian, I want you to listen up right now. Because if you are a Christian in here, it's so possible that this scenario can happen to us. And so let me say this. When we start looking in other places for what is only found in our relationship with the Father, we head towards a dark place. Hear me. I've seen it time and time again. I've seen it in my own world, and I've seen it in some of your worlds. And it's when we try and pursue something beyond the Father, if you like, when Christ isn't enough anymore. Do you understand what I'm saying this morning? When he's just not enough for me, we head towards a very dark place. Let me put it another way. When we try and fill what only God can fill, when we try and fill what only God can fill, it just leads us to a place that we never intended to go. And I would say this, a place of even greater discontent. You see, we're trying to find this stuff. We're trying to search. We're trying to go somewhere. And we've already experienced truth. We have almost like, well, God, we have you, but we try and pursue beyond it because we feel discontent. And we go down a certain road, and it's a really dark road, and we just get greater amount of discontentment. Some of you know what that feels like right now. I speak to parents this morning and say this, the best thing you can pass on to your kids is a holy discontent, not your holy discontent. Let me say that again. The best thing that you can pass on to your kids is a holy discontent, not your holy discontent. Let me tell you something, not to threaten you, but to make you think, to make you wake up at this time and say, do you know what? It's possible for us to lose our kids down there because we put our holy discontent onto our kids. How many know they see that? They see it, they feel it, the tension in your home because we're wholly discontent and yet we're trying to bring them into a godly situation and put a holy discontent into our kids so that they do some great things. But how many know that what we say and what we model sometimes doesn't be the same? So I want to say, for the benefit of all, for your kids, for your grandkids, for those that are on the way, for those of you who haven't got kids that will have kids, let me say to you, the best thing you're going to do for your kids is to give them your holy discontent, or at least push them towards what theirs is rather than your holy discontent. Does that make sense? See, this is what I think. Being holy, W-H-O-L-L-Y, being wholly discontent, I think, brings a warped view of the world. We carry this stuff, and it affects everything in our world, and we don't even recognize it. We've kind of gone down this path so much trying to find some contentment in our life that it just warps everything that we see in our life. And if we go far enough down this road, you know what happens? We start to feel like a victim. I've seen it time and time again in people searching for this discontent, and there's not really much of a holiness about it. It's a contentment. I must find this contentment. And so they search, and they leave almost like the Father, and they move to another place in whatever way that is, whether that's a physical place or just a place in their mind. And we know that from our mind we have our actions, and we pursue stuff. If we go down far enough down this road, we end up feeling like we are a victim. Can I tell you, son, daughter of Jesus, you are not a victim. That is not the place that you should be living right now. Some of you feel like that victim, and God, I can't find contentment. Maybe you should look where you're searching for it. God has not created us to be a victim. I think in this scenario, this is what happens. It becomes all about what others do towards me or what they don't do towards me. Does that make sense? It's like it's their fault for my discontent. Help us, God, if we ever get to that place. That we're looking at everybody else. They didn't do that for me, or they are this. Or they did this to me. And it's left me in this place of discontent. Before we know it, we are wearing our badge of victim. Do you know what? I think this stuff finishes us off. It has the potential, hear me this morning, to finish us off. I believe that through holy discontentment, W-H-O-L-L-Y, through being wholly discontent in life, it can break up credible marriages. Seriously affects and undermines our relationships, particularly those who are close to us. And if we continue this search for contentment despite all that, do you know what happens? And what I've seen, it just makes you more and more angry. You become Mr. or Mrs. Angry. You thought there was only a Mr. Angry. Well, there is a Mrs. Angry as well. And we just get more and more angry. When we carry on down the path and all of this stuff isn't happening, not only do we get more angry, we feel more let down. It's just a dark, dark road, and we can't see a way out of it, and we feel so discontent. We just want contentment, but we feel let down by others. We feel let down by everybody. Another thing that it does is it kills your purpose whilst in pursuit of the wrong stuff to fill your tank. This path gets darker and darker, and in this situation, the things that you discover on that path, in other words, the things that you're looking for to bring this elusive contentment, turns out to be never enough. Anybody been there? It's just never enough. And if I may just carry on that line and say, in all of this, we get to a place where it's still not enough. We're more angry, we're more let down and wonder, God, where are you? There he was right there. Thank you for that break in the tension. Here's what happens. It's never enough. And so in the process, you know what happens? We hurt others. Can I say that's not who you are? That's not who God intended you to be. We end up hurting others in our pursuit with unreal expectation of others to provide for us, produce for us, and maintain for us. Wow. This WHOLLY, this holy discontentment can really, really bring out the selfish in us. Come on, let's have the band up. I want to just share something as the band makes their way to the stage. Stay with me just for a minute or two. I'm going to bring this to a conclusion very shortly, but just stay with me as they come up on stage. Just hear me out. And for 1 minute, everyone say 1 minute. For 1 minute, let's look at what society says, just one or two things of what society says, and what Jesus says, okay? And I think this will help us really qualify some stuff, maybe where we are, or maybe give us some understanding as the band begins to play, and as I begin to round up and shut up eventually. Let's just look at this for a moment, because there's some distinct things between society culture and kingdom culture. How many know it's very, very different? The kingdom culture is an upside-down thing. It's like, wow, how does that work? Do you know what? Society culture is easy. The Bible says that we can fit into that culture so easily. But how many know that actually we're supposed to cut against that in kingdom culture? And so when we look at these things, let me just give you some comparisons of what one says as opposed to the other. And so we start and we say, society says, follow your heart. You hear people say it all the time, don't you? Follow your heart. Jesus says, follow me. You got that? Society says, follow your heart. Jesus says, follow me. Society says, believe in yourself. How many times do you hear that? It's like a common thing now. Believe in yourself. Nothing wrong in believing in who you are, and nothing wrong with that. But do you know what? Jesus says, believe in me. Can you see the difference here? Can you see how we can get pulled along by society and it's like, wow, it's you, it's you, it's you, it's all about you. Contentment will be found in you and what you have and what you do and what you say and what you achieve and what position you have. But you know what? Jesus says, believe in me. I love this one. Society says, discover yourself. Discover who you are. Discover yourself. Jesus says, deny yourself. I That's a stark one, isn't it? While we're all discovering who we are, what we are, or who we want to be, Jesus came along and said, deny yourself. Wow. What a powerful thing. Society says, be true to you. You know? What should I do? You should be true to you. You know, there are sometimes you need to be true to you. Jesus says, be true to me. Wow, it's a whole lot different. Don't you think? Society says, stand up for yourself. You know, in a world where everybody's trying to trample you down, you go, girl, and you stand up for yourself. Wow. Jesus says, stand up for others. Stand up for others. Quit standing up for yourself. Quit trying to think that it was all about us and our contentment and our stuff and just wanting to be happy. Jesus kind of showed a different way. And you know what? He proved it by living in the way that he did. He said, stand up for others. Wow. It's powerful. How many think it's powerful? Quit standing up just for yourself. Stand up for others. Isn't that why Jesus came? And so you know what? As I thought about all this stuff, I thought, going back to the story of the young guy, Dad, I'm not happy. I mean, I'm really not happy. So I want what's coming to me, and I want it now so I can go and pursue some stuff. I want to go and pursue contentment. He went down a different road. He wasn't content in his father's house. I think that's where we get to sometimes. And as I think about this, after all his searching for contentment, you know what? He was only content when he got back into his father's arms. Do you know that? By the nature of all he did and all he said and all his pursuit for contentment. Contentment came home that day when he went home to the father's house and was embraced by the father. Wow. Was it really as simple as that? Do you know what? I think so. I don't think there was a need for all of this stuff. I think he just needed to get back into the place where he once was. The place where he felt the embrace of the Father. The place where he moved from all this selfish stuff to try and get contentment and just be content in the image of the Father and in the arms of God. Seems to me that when the Bible says that he came to his senses, that's really what it means. That he really saw through all of this stuff that he tried to pursue to get the contentment that he thought he could get somewhere else, but realized that he had to come right back into the Father's house and be embraced by the Father. I wonder if you'd stand with me right now. It's right across the hall. If you can stand across this arena, just stand with me. There's a great verse in the New Testament, Timothy. And this is taken from 1 Timothy 6, verses 6 to 8. I'm just going to read the first line, I think. It says this, Talk about stuff that we're looking for. I think it sums it up. When the author writes this, true godliness with contentment is itself great wealth. True godliness with contentment is itself great wealth.